You're listening to the Assistance Together podcast. I'm going to try and direct as many questions to both of you as possible and not get stuck, just open-ended, endless kind of questions. When we've spoken about your business and when I've looked at what you've achieved in a very, very short period of time, it feels like it must have been an enormous learning curve from the moment where you, and I'll let people hear your version of how it started, but if they've looked at your website, they'll know it started over a bottle of wine, as all very good ideas should. From that moment of doing it to now, it feels like it just must be two worlds apart from the people that you were at that point to here. What's your experience of it, Kerry?
Yeah, definitely. I think when we first started, we weren't, or I certainly was not as confident as I am now, especially saying no to certain things, or even, I guess, trying new things. It has taken a long time to be able to do it.
This week, I'm speaking with Kate Heafy and Kerry Robinson, who launched the Online Assistants in 2017. They have a virtual assistant business, which they kind of founded over a bottle of wine when they were discussing the role of personal assistant and how it was evolving. And that is really what inspired them to start their own business and start working with a variety of individuals and companies in a way that really felt right to them and in a way that they wanted to, taking control and autonomy over their careers and their time.
When we first started, there was so much fear. Mm-hmm. And that's because really when you first start out, all you hear is horror stories, right? No one writes about their first 6 months, and it was wonderful and so exciting. So Kerry and I, we worked so closely together for years before we made the decision to start this company.
I really wanted to speak to them about the fact that they love what they do so much, right? And their growth mindset, which allowed them to really develop and grow their business in a short amount of time. And they also share with us exactly how they did it, how they got their first client, what some of their difficulties were over the first couple of years, and even their different working styles and even their similarities. But this is definitely the podcast to listen to if you are thinking of becoming a VA or starting a business with a mate. Enjoy.
So I was already working in a private family. So I had a little bit more experience of working remotely and working. I worked from the office, but I also had the ability to work remotely and I had a lot more freedom with my time. So, but Kerry and I really, really support each other throughout that role. So Kerry took over my previous role. And when Kerry was on leave, I would help her. When I was on leave, Kerry would help me because she knew my client. We'd support each other. So we built this really, really good relationship. But we had started this company at a time that was quite stressful for Kerry, especially. The company that she'd worked for had decided to close its doors. So there was a lot of pressure to find something. And I knew that I wanted to start my own company and take on other clients, but I also knew that I didn't want to do it alone. I really, really wanted to carry on that relationship. And Kerry was the person I always wanted to do it with. So when we decided to do it, of course, we were so scared. Everyone had told us so many companies fail and this is going to go wrong and you have to have this much savings. And we didn't have any of that. So, we had very naively over this bottle of wine gone, we're going to start this company. We've got this name, we're registering it and we've got a company. And then it was like, what, how do we make the next step? And I think really, Kerry, it was probably at the end of that first year that, so for us, we hadn't registered for VAT because we had never in our right minds ever thought we would make any money because everyone told us we wouldn't for our first year. And Kerry's dad is our accountant and he sat us down and he said, guys, you need to register for VAT immediately. And we said, what do you mean? He said, you've gone over the threshold. You're going to get fined if you don't register. And it was that kind of first year that we had worked so hard to get this company where it was. And we worked through our fear to build that confidence and build this client base. And I think it was that first year that we really kind of realized that we had done it. And it was such an amazing feeling of achievement. We had built this company from nothing and we were both able to earn like a full-time salary from it in a year. I think that was huge for our confidence and our growth.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that is an enormous accomplishment. Yeah. And it takes some real understanding of one another too, if you're doing something together with someone.
Absolutely.
Able to manage that kind of relationship.
I would say though that Kerry and I work exactly the same. I think that's what we realized, and we were so lucky to find this in each other. But the way that we approach jobs and we complete work is exactly the same. We have the same level of detail and perfection, and we complement each other so well. We're so different in so many ways, but we're also so similar in other ways. So the way that we work, we have so much trust in each other. I would say that, wouldn't you, Kerry? That we okay. just
Yeah.
I think I couldn't have done this without Kerry 100%.
Yeah, sure, for sure. And Kerry, what was it? What were the kind of roles that you were working in before you started the business together?
So I was basically a PA to the managing director in the sports management agency. So we dealt with all the contracts, we dealt with the bookkeepers and the invoicing. You know, I think it's general PA duties. So diary management, working with the cricket players as well, making sure their contracts were signed and they had all their equipment, working with their sponsors and ambassadors. So it was a general PA role, I think. I could get involved in as much as I liked, but I always felt that there were barriers and, you know, boundaries set. I feel like I always had a boss telling me exactly what needs to be done and how it was done at certain times. Like, you almost had to seek permission before you could.
I think probably a lot of listeners can relate to that certain people are very kind of strict in their expectation of what other people are allowed to achieve. Even it doesn't seem like they're prepared to give anyone the opportunity to step outside of their definition of the role,
especially in the nature of that role, because I was in that role with before Kerry. So you build a relationship with all your sponsors and all your athletes, and you have this very personable relationship. And so they all come to you with requests that they need doing now, but you're not the controller of your own time, so you have to always run tasks by someone to make sure you can do those, because your time is controlled and you have to do all these other jobs. And so you build these wonderful relationships, but you always have to have approval before you can do anything.
Yeah,
so you had no autonomy, effectively. You're allowed to do the job, but nothing else.
Exactly.
And taking the step to launch your own business, I get that there was fear and, you know, like, what did you, how did you get your first client? This is something that people talk about a lot, about how they start to build something. Because the process of starting a business is so multi-layered, depending on where you are in the world, what the regulations are, how you go about doing it. But I feel like for people I speak to who say that they want to do this, that this is kind of like a real dream of theirs, to be able to take control of their time, of where they work, of what they do. Because I know you guys were both living in London.
Yeah.
And now you're both clearly not in London, because you both went to beaches about Easter weekend, which I'm not envious about at all. But how did you go about starting to actually make it into a business? Because nothing is a business until it starts generating revenue, right?
So our first client actually came to us through another PA who worked with this client and just did a little bit of work with them, and nothing huge. And she said, it's just so ad hoc, you can have it. So we actually were brought on to just run a project for this client. And it was, he's still with us. He's one of our favorite clients, actually, still to this day. But he asked us to come in, and his company basically he worked for it said to him, look, you have got 2 years of outstanding company expenses. And if you don't have them in within 2 weeks, you're not getting any of these expenses. We've been chasing you for years. So he said to us, I need you to do these expenses. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of receipts were sent to us, somewhere photographed and sent to us. But yeah, we were given this really, really short time scale to get all these expenses in. And also it was a specific sheet that the company needed. They had to be within a certain date. And so, you know, it had its own complexities. But we did this task for him, and we thought, you know, it's just gonna be a one-off task. And yeah, he's still with us. So he was our very first client, given to us by another PA. Most of our other clients came through word of mouth, I would say.
I think one of our other clients, one of the families, another family that we work with, we also got referred to by another PA as well. Yeah. So I think we were quite lucky in the sense that we were referred work. We didn't have to go out and actually market ourselves from the beginning. We were confident enough to know that we had a few clients, even though it was minimal hours, it was something to start off with.
That seems really lucky that you had the network to actually recommend people, because it doesn't mean that if you know them, they're going to recommend people to you just because they know that you're starting something. So that was a huge plus, I'm sure.
I mean, we found clients in the most random places. I went to a rugby match with another recruitment company, Eden Private Staff at that stage. And I'd just been invited because one of the clients I had worked for was looking for a nanny, and they were like, why don't you come to the rugby? And I met this guy and his dad at the rugby, who was in our box. And we hit it off straight away, and he waited 6 months for us to join him when he was selling a business, and he said, as soon as I've sold that business, I want you guys to come on board as my assistants. And he did 6 months later when the company sold. He was like, I'm ready. So yeah, we were very lucky, and we did grow. We got a lot of clients in that first, you know, 2 years that we weren't expecting to get.
What was it like when you started to work for yourself, as opposed to working in what seemed like, I don't know what your role was like, Kate, but, and Kerry, when you were talking about your last in-company job that had these kind of constraints, what was it like when you were able to start utilising your time in the way that you wanted to? What did it feel like? What was it? Did it feel strange? Because it was strange when I launched my business after coming from a big organisation. I was like, I have a lot of hours in a day and I can do whatever I like now. I'm not, you know, it was a really weird moment for me.
Kerry, I think you're probably the best one for this, because I transitioned into a full-time role straight away. Even so, my hours were still not dictated so much. I had a lot more freedom, but you really went all in the first year. I still had work with my private family.
I do think it was really strange, and I think it took a while to actually transition properly into like being able to dictate when you do certain things. And I think because when we started, there were a few hours and it wasn't a lot of work, it was quite hard to actually fill your whole time, because I do like a schedule, and like I feel like, you know, 9 to 5 say are working hours, and although you do now, you can have the flexibility and it's lovely to have flexibility, I did struggle at the beginning not having a proper structure like with the hours filled, but I think over time it becomes a lot easier. And I think also looking back I didn't have anything to do, so whether it's like researching or learning something new or seeing what other people are doing or trying to speak to new clients, I think you do fill your time, and you can fill your time really quickly.
Yeah,
I would say one thing I would add to that, though, I find that it's so ingrained in us that 9 to 5 are working hours, or even 8 to 6 in some companies, right? It becomes such a foundation of the workplace that these are the hours you should be working and actively working, that it's really hard when you're having your own personal company in your own hours to not feel guilty if you're not working during those hours. Mm. It's really hard to get yourself out the mindset of, hey, it's 5 p.m. I'm closing my laptop, without being like, oh my word, I am letting everyone down and I should be working, I feel so guilty. Yeah. So that is such a hard thing, I find, getting yourself not thinking about time in that way.
Yes. And I suppose it is, as you said, you know, we have these constraints in our lives. We're so used to them, we don't even realize that they're actually causing us any kind of anxiety when we don't fill into that. And when I had my son and I didn't work 9 till 5 anymore, or 9 till 6, or 7 till 7, which is what I was mainly doing, I was like, I was confused about what it felt like to be what my definition of productivity was, right? Like, what if it didn't fit into the 9 to 5, then I didn't really understand, I couldn't really compute it. It sounds so stupid to say now, or sort of naive really, but I know that if people are looking and starting a virtual assistant business, sometimes they have other commitments in their lives while they're getting it going. They maybe have a part-time job, lots of different factors that can make you feel that you aren't present, whatever it is, in the business. And it was just interesting to hear your perspectives of kind of how you, you know, broke up your time and kept it to those kind of working hours.
Yeah.
I love being in front of my computer, though. You know, during the day, you'll find me at my computer just because I enjoy it. I love getting an email and being able to respond to it. I hate having my emails build up. I think that causes me the biggest anxiety. So I do enjoy it, but I also would like to, it's good to be able to go, these, you know, 2 hours are dedicated to company growth, and I'm not going to feel guilty that I'm not working, you know, in the I should be earning money kind of sense, that I'm working but on my company. And that's really good to be able to get that out of the mindset of, oh, I feel guilty that I'm not trying to earn money when I should actually be growing my business. That is my new focus. Yeah,
absolutely. And what was it like in, from, you know, from a mindset perspective for you both to start your business, how did you feel about it, Kerry, coming from an employee where you said you were quite boundaried?
I think I was scared. I wasn't like super confident that it was going to work. And at the same time, I was, you know, still looking on the side for full-time jobs, just in case it potentially needed to come to that. So I think I was scared, but I was also excited. And as Kate's already said, I think it was great that there were two of us, because it's not as daunting. You have someone to bounce off in that situation. But I think we were also determined, and we know what we want, and, you know, we knew what we wanted then, and we still know what we want now. And I think we were determined to make it succeed. And, you know, so I think there was a load of different emotions, and some days were tough and some days were hard, but I think it's just like pushing through, and, you know, we got there in the end.
I completely agree with what Kerry said. I think that we may have gone into it a little bit naive, because it was a lot of hard work. It really was. We put blood, sweat and tears in. You know, when you look at that website that we've just pushed out, a new website, that is us entirely. You know, we've been as honest as we can be, because this is really our baby. We've created this. We're so proud of what we've achieved, but it was a lot of hard work, and we gave up a lot in that first year to make it successful. You know, we worked constantly. We were always out there searching and pushing out our name, trying to bring in new clients. We were making sure that every part of the online assistant was working in the best way it could. So it was a lot of hard work, and we're so immensely proud of it. But we went in, I think, maybe at the start thinking it would just run itself, and there's a lot that goes into running a business. I think what Kerry and I, when we first started, we had this conversation with Kerry's dad, our accountant, Dave, and I made notes, and I definitely did not understand something Dave had said, all the way I'd written it down, about our corporation tax. So, you know, for me, I then was telling Kerry after, like, Kerry, your dad said that we can offset all our profit against our corporation tax, or all our expenses against this. And Kerry was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I've got it written down. We can offset all our expenses against our corporation tax. So we decided that we needed, in our first year, we needed really nice laptop bags, because this was, you know, our business, that we needed to have these really good laptop bags. So, oh my word, we spent like 2 hours each finding our perfect laptop bag, and we bought these laptop bags, and they were expensive. And when we worked out, like, you know, Kerry's dad then messaged us, like, what on earth are you guys doing with your expenses? We were like, we can offset them all against our corporation tax, it's fine. He was like, what? you can offset tax against tax. And we were like, what? I beg your pardon, what? And then when we figured out, like when we sat down and had to work out how much these bags had actually cost us, it was like a week's salary each. We couldn't believe we'd made this mess up. But we still have our bags to this day. We still use them all the time. So.
What's the cost per wear down to? Do you know what's the, how much do they cost to wear now? Much less. God.
We love them, but at the time, could you imagine? I couldn't believe it at the time. We were so proud of these bags. Like we were, you know, we worked all these hours. We bought them right at the end of our first year. So they were still in our first year corporation tax. And we were like, we've got like this much corporation tax from left over from the year. We can spend this much money on these bags. Oh my word. We couldn't.
We all make mistakes when we start a business. That's the rules. Like you can't go into everything knowing everything. And it is a minefield, isn't it? I mean, I remember the beginning. I definitely remember trying to work out PAYE. I can tell you that was it was a tough one for my brain at that point. I was like, it was days of work.
It's hard work. Like you, no one explains this to you beforehand. I mean, no one had sat down and told us, well, you've got so much to take in. But yeah, Kerry's dad definitely has been the kind of, he's been the light at the end of the tunnel constantly in the years that we've grown, making sure that we understand the you know, what we're doing, because without him, oh my word, Kerry, could you imagine how much more trouble we would have gotten into?
Yeah.
I like the idea that you would have gotten into some big trouble along the way. It's to me, I think the excitement, and when you were talking earlier about this sort of element of naivety when you go into business. And I think that's the same for everyone. Like maybe that's the best thing to have, is just to be a little bit naive, because the reality is, you know, a shock, isn't it? In terms of the volume of work and the hours and the commitment. Do you think it stood you in some good stead? I think it did for me when I started my business.
Absolutely. I think if I had to make that decision now, you know, 4 years ago, would I do the same thing? 100%. It's been the best decision I personally think I've made in my business life or my employment career. I don't know about you, Kerry, but I think I would never go back to, you know, a normal salaried employee role again, if I touch wood, if I could help it.
Absolutely. How about you, Kerry?
Yeah, definitely. I think being slightly naive, it gives you so many options and ideas, and like, yeah, I think if everyone said running a business and you have to know XYZ, like it makes it so complicated, whereas you can just learn along the way. Like I feel we still learn things every day, and some of it's really important and some of it's like, okay, well, when you look back, that was what we thought was such a big deal is actually really not. So,
and things change. I mean, if we'd learned everything we needed to learn before we started running our business, well, they would have all been outdated by the time you actually got around to starting the business. There's so much that happens every year that you need to know. And if we hadn't gone and naive, we wouldn't have beautiful handbags right now for our laptops.
So true. I want to see pictures of this, but I need to know what brand it was.
We'll get you a handbag. We actually went for the exact same handbag in the end, but we'll get you a picture of both of them together.
Yeah, I need to see these incredibly beautiful, expensive, luxurious laptop cases.
They're so handy. They've got so many different compartments. I love compartments. They've got all these different compartments, and they've got like a really thick section for putting a laptop in. So if you get banged about or running around, nothing's going to happen to your laptop, which is the most important thing.
You guys are going to have those bags for life, right? They are
absolutely
expensive bag for life.
My children are going to inherit them.
I love it. And you were talking about having to learn so much, both of you, along the way, and the kind of advantage of not knowing everything. Do you feel that having a growth mindset has helped you? And has that been really the only thing that you need to get started, do you think? That and some tenacity.
Yeah, I do think that. I think you also have to be super clear on, not even clear, you just have to have that expectations that things don't always go right. Yeah. So, you know, there will be bumps along the way. But yeah, I think if you just have the mind of growth and you have a vision of what you want to achieve, whether it's in 3, 5, 10 years' time, and you're working towards something, as long as you're happy to accept that sometimes it's not going to go perfectly, then it's great.
Yeah, I understand. I think because for me, in my work, I mean, I fail more than I succeed on a day-to-day basis, even with a to-do list, right? I'm going to fail on how much I get done of certain things. And that attitude, like, as soon as I, in my mind, normalized failure, then I was able to move forward really quickly, because I certainly felt this sort of pressure to have a sort of perfectionist mindset, you know, that everything had to be really perfect before I got started. And often in business, you have to start before anything's ready. You just have to go for it and then fill in all the blanks along the way. That's kind of what I was thinking about the growth mindset element, about, you know, if you don't know the answer, you can find out the answer. Yeah. Like, that's what Google's for, right? That's what YouTube's for, if it's a video or whatever it is, to take advantage of and acknowledge the fact that you can work it out. You can trust yourself to work it out along the way.
I think, like, I'm very lucky to have Kerry as a business partner in this, because Kerry is very much the driving force in our business for growth. She is constantly researching. And I think this is where where our differences work really well. It's like, for example, Kerry works with a lot of, like, our investor entrepreneur clients. So her mindset works really, really well with that mindset. Mm-hmm. So they're always looking for the next thing and how to grow and get there. And Kerry complements that so well that she suits that role very well. And so for me, it's brilliant to be with, you know, business partnered with someone who has that mindset. They're always looking for, how do we grow? How do we get to the next stage? How do we reach our customers? That's brilliant. So we each have our strengths. And I think that's definitely one of Kerry's strengths, that she's got a very, very good growth mindset.
And did you decide to go for different types of clients, or did you go for the same kind of clients? How did it work out?
I would say that it just was natural. I think I'm more of the formal business side. So I work with, like, a lot of small SME businesses, really. And I think that just suits my mindset as well, because a lot of my clients are also very OCD, which is also brilliant for me, because I love organization. And for me, I think that worked really, really well. Small businesses, especially that didn't have an admin or HR facility within them already, coming in and being able to start those from scratch was ideal for me. I mean, yeah. I got a brand new filing system with one of my small business companies when I first started, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go color coding this entire filing system. So for me, I really, really, I enjoy that a lot. We work with a lot of families, and those are very similar across the board. But in general, a lot of my private clients, business clients, are the SMEs, and Kerry's business clients are more investor and entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
It suits our personalities, I think.
It's definitely personalities. We mm-hmm. have very different personalities, when especially Kate is quite formal and I am not at all formal. So my clients are literally, yeah, they're very successful and they're like startups and crazy mindsets. But when we speak to each other, there's no, you know, dear XYZ. It's yeah. like, can you do this? Or, hey, what's up? Like, yeah, very different.
What's yours, Kate? Yours is...
Oh, yeah, mine's much more formal on the business side. So I do a lot of, like, the legals and the HRs. And so, yeah, I enjoy that formality. And sometimes I'll message Kerry and then she's like, Kate, you're emailing me. And there's no, dear Kerry. She's like, it's me.
I love the idea of that. You all... I hope this finds you well.
You're sincerely.
That's so fun. And what do you think are some of the sort of top things that you've taken away from the experience of launching and starting your own business?
I think that the top thing is that absolutely we can do it. That was really amazing for us to discover. Yes, we can do it. Because sometimes you just need someone to have that faith in you to go, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. So I would actually say at this stage that we have done it, and we're now in our next, so we're in almost our next stage of growth, which is the growing the online assistance, which is so important. So we did it. We've got a successful company. We've worked really, really hard to get here. And now we're in our next stage, which is, yeah, the growth of our team as well as always our client base.
Yeah, I think it's also really nice in the fact that you can mold what you're doing. So, you know, yes, we've done it, but we've also been able to create these roles and, you know, work with people where we're able to have so much say in what we're doing, and learning things about their company and like sharing an interest in what they're doing can also benefit us. Yeah, so I think it's like the strategies they use, you know, when they feel like they need to grow and employ people, you know, how they do it, when do they feel like this is important. Yeah, so I think it's just like how they grow their businesses and what they put in place for their companies can also benefit you if you are lucky and, you know, able to see how they discuss things internally inside their companies, which are normally, well, for us, are really successful businesses. Yeah.
So many of our companies have, you know, massive boards and, you know, shareholders and whatnot. We aren't at that level. We're a small business, and that's perfect for us. But I would say, you know, some, Kerry, on your side especially, I think some of your clients, your investors, your entrepreneurs, the way that they tackle the market has very much been pushed back into our company as well. You know, we learn from that. What's they spend, you know, a lot of money doing that research, and we get that research by doing the work with them, which is fantastic. So being able to see how businesses are valued, or how businesses can succeed, or what companies look for in businesses, we've gained all that by working on these projects, and actually we can put that back into our own companies. On the small businesses side as well, just seeing the structures, and we also realize, I think, what we don't need in companies, what we don't need within our company, what we need to focus on, and we get so much, I think, from each one of our clients. We're very, very lucky in that way. I mean, I work with some finance directors who are the most incredible, and I've always been very, very good at, you know, I love Excel, I love Word, and I love all those kind of tips and stuff. But you sometimes will work on a spreadsheet at the same time with one of these guys, and they're like magicians, and you're like, what did you just do? And then you're actually having these guys give you tips, and you're like, I'm the PA. How are you giving me tips? But I love it. So, you know, I learned this tip the other day from one of my my finance directors. I was trying to, we do the spreadsheet for our investments, and he did equals today. So the spreadsheet, yeah, every time you open it, it's actually updated itself. And I almost fell over. I was like, what on earth? So we get these things that you wouldn't have, you know, just by working with only PAs. It's great to get all these different mindsets.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're very collaborative with your clients, both of you, yeah, in different ways, which allows you this incredible access to their knowledge, experience, and working out what priorities you have for the business. Because I think that's, for anyone having a business, it's always difficult to know where to put your attention. Like you said earlier, you want it on the fee earning, you want to keep making the money and generating money, but without taking the time out to kind of plan, look at future growth, look at how you're going to build the business, that is just treading water, isn't it? Because you can't ever take it to the next level, and there's only ever going to be so many hours in the day that you can work.
Yeah.
So it sounds really exciting what you're both doing. And how are you going to take the business forward in your mind at the moment? Where is it? What's the goal for the next couple of years?
So I would say, I would personally say at the moment, our next goal is that the client and team growth. Personally, what we're trying to do at the moment, what we've just spent months working really, really hard on, is getting our website to a position that we love. We're so proud of that website. It's so personable, and it's exactly who we are and what we offer. So now we're pushing that out to people and saying, well, we're ready to take on more people, we're ready to grow, and here is everything that we do and how we can help you. So that we've been putting a lot of focus into our social media and our marketing, that way pushing ourselves out. We've never really taken time to do marketing beforehand, because we had all our clients come through word of mouth or through recommendations, and so we got to the stage where we were at full capacity, and now we've worked to grow the foundations for the next stage, which is growing the team and having more capacity for more clients. So it's bringing in those clients. We've done all the work to do that, and now it's really focusing on doing that. And we want to grow our team to have this incredible team that work with us, so that we can be the best at what we offer in all different areas. So finance, general admin, business admin, personal admin, in any way that we can. We want to make sure that we've got the foundation both on our side to offer that as well.
Yeah, the website looks fantastic. Really, really sleek. It does look really great. It's been so fun to talk to you both. Thank you for sharing your experience of starting your business and growing it and taking it to where you want to be for both your lives. It's really inspirational for people to hear other people's stories about how they've taken control of their work life and their earning capacity. And you know, there's a ceiling for a lot of assistants in terms of their earning and being tied to an office pre-pandemic and potentially post-pandemic too. And freeing up that for both of you must be really liberating to have that opportunity to work in the way that you want to and share the growth of your business together. It's very cool.
Thank you.
Very, very cool. Can you give a couple of things to anyone who wants to start out just before we go? Any, just your, maybe your top tip. I know, Kate, you said that you've got to go for it. Kerry, have you got anything that you'd be able to share with anyone about how they can push themselves forward in this direction if that's what they want to do?
I think at the beginning, take on work, even if you're not 100% sure about it. Figure it out. Maybe be slightly honest if you don't know, but try figure it out and try do the job, and it'll give you more opportunities and chances if you at least try.
Yeah, I also think, that's a good point. You know, when you first start, maybe you do have to do all that. But one thing that Kerry actually brought this in for us is that Kerry was really adamant about us each making a likes and dislikes list. So what do you enjoy doing? What makes you get up in the morning? What do you really want to do? And what do you really hate doing? Like, what would you rather give your arm up for never doing again? So we've all of us that work within TA, we've done these lists of things we actually really enjoy and things we don't enjoy. And then also maybe I would write things that you really want. Like, if you don't want to work Fridays, write that down. I want to work Monday to Thursday, 9 to 5. And that is really what I want to do. That's what I want to go into this business and do. And then actually write that down, have that as an ambition. In a year's time, remind yourself of those things that you wrote, things I love doing, things I don't love doing. And this is what I really want my work-life balance to look like. Mm. And that can be your ambition, and you can work towards that. Because I think actually, beforehand, I didn't realize some of the things I didn't enjoy doing. And it's the task that you always go, I'm just going to come back to them, I'm going to come back to them, I'm going to come back to that. And then like 2 days have gone by and someone's going, is that done? And you're like, oh my word, I can't believe I've let you down on this. I'll get it done right now. But if you really don't enjoy doing it, you can't say no at the start, fair enough, where you bring in clients. But after a year, you can go, I am never doing that again.
Yes. Take control of the things that you enjoy.
Set boundaries. Yeah.
That's so helpful. Thank you so much for being a guest this week. It's so fun to have had this chance to chat with you.
Thank you for having us on.
That was super fun to talk to them about all their experiences, and I so appreciate them being guests this week. Please get in touch if you've got any questions about anything. I love hearing your feedback about the episodes. Thank you for all your messages about our last one with Annie. I know that a lot of you found her story super inspirational, as did I. And took a lot away from how you can start to create opportunities for yourself and for change. And don't be put off by the fact it took me 2.5 years to get over my internal voice about how much I hated working out. I was a very, very exceptional case. So I don't want you to feel that that's going to be the case for you if you start doing your one thing. And yeah, get in touch. I can't wait to hear your feedback about this episode. Let me know what you took away from it, what you found useful, and I'll be back next week. Take care.